In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So glad to see you all today. I think my mic's working, is it?
Yes.
Okay, good. It's my ears that don't work, but we already knew that. As we continue our journey through the Easter season, and we've seen and heard, well, maybe we've seen Jesus, I don't know, but we've certainly heard of others seeing Jesus, and we find ourselves in the Gospel according to John today in chapter 10. Jesus is making a pretty clear statement, which the author of this Gospel likes to put forward in numerous occasions, twice within this passage, where Jesus begins, "I am the Good Shepherd." He is immediately referencing himself to be God. This takes us back to Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, where Moses, "Who should I say is sending?" And he says that "I am" has sent you. So Jesus is saying, "I am the Good Shepherd." And he is able and capable of doing something that no one else can do. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. No one else can do what Jesus is going to do through his very body and blood. The laying down of his life is what brings about our salvation. No one else could do it. In my theology class in seminary, the professor, while he was describing all these things to us in great detail, I won't take you into that, by the way, so don't panic. He would point out or grab a hold of, usually it was one particular young man, and he'd say, "We could take," I probably shouldn't throw him under the bus, I'll use the first name, "we could take Alan out into the Garth, the area between the classrooms and the chapel, and we could crucify him, but it wouldn't do us any good. It might bring us some peace in the classroom, but it won't bring us salvation. The only one who could lay down their life for our salvation was Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd." And as he says, the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now there are others that we might focus on, and there are others who might come and take a role that isn't theirs to have, or we may give the role to someone who isn't theirs to have, and Jesus compensates for that. In verses 12 and 4, he says, "The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep." No one can do this at the level in which the Good Shepherd can do it. There may be others who appear to be shepherds, but none are Jesus Christ. And he continues to move forward from there. And the next thing he says in verse 14, he says again, "I am. I am the Good Shepherd." And he then begins to introduce to us a concept of relationship that goes beyond most of anything we have considered before. He says, "I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." Which hopefully awakens something in our heart. I know my own, and my own know me. But he goes a step further with what he's trying to convey to those who are listening. Those of us who are hearing today, Jesus takes it a step further and he describes what this means to know. He goes, "Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father." That's the way in which he knows his own and his own will know him. We have a triune God. One God, three persons. Amen?
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We're assuming that's a pretty close relationship, aren't we? Jesus is saying that's the relationship he has with those who follow him. That's what he's saying. "I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father." He is calling us to a depth of relationship that is beyond any relationship we can have in any other form. He is calling us in to him, literally. Calling us into him. And there's a reason. It's the only way we can move and fully do the work he's called us to do. If we are not in relationship with him, we get lost in what we can see and what we can control and what we can create. It shows up in somewhat practical forms sometimes. The Lord is so good to me. He gives me things to share with you, by the way. So I had my birthday last month. Used to be something you'd celebrate. Now it just means I have to make sure I have all my doctor's appointments scheduled. So I've been doing all that. I've seen the eye doctor and I've seen the dentist. That went a little sideways, so I saw him again. And then what else? I've had my physical. That's always good news. And dermatologist was this week. Yeah, I grew up in Florida. Irishman in Florida. I'm going to put his kids through college. So I go to his office, and I was between things. I had a meeting I set up in Sarasota, so I could visit my dermatologist and then come to work. So I showed up dressed for work. And I go into the office, the nurse comes in, and she's asking, again, all the same questions I just answered on a piece of paper in the waiting room. And so as she's questioning me, I wish I could remember what triggered the conversation. Perhaps it was the way I was dressed. There became a conversation briefly about faith. And then she looks at me and she says, I hope I don't offend you, but I now find myself seeking my spirituality in the mystical, new age. You know the stuff I'm talking about, right? And I said, oh, why? Because you said you do that now, which means you did something else before. Well, I've tried a couple of different denominations in my lifetime. She was not a young woman, you know, probably my age. And she goes, I've tried a couple of different denominations, and, you know, I just couldn't take it anymore. Those people were all hypocrites. And I said, oh, yeah, that's exactly right. And she was a little stunned. I said, we are. I mean, we're kind of a mess. We're God's broken people that are seeking wholeness through him. So when you get us all in one room, we can be a bit of a mess. Yeah, we all bring our stuff and we run into each other and we step on each other's toes and we cut each other, not usually intentionally. And it's dangerous. And we say we're going to do one thing, we end up doing another. We proclaim a faith in Jesus Christ and then we run and hide when he calls us to go. We trust in him until we don't. And you know, we're just in this process, amen? We're trying to figure it out. We're trying to work it out. And sometimes we get it right. And oftentimes, not as well. And I said, well, I'm explaining this to her. And she's looking a little shocked at this moment. And I said, it's okay. I said, you should keep searching. But I bet what's going to happen for you, because what you're seeking is all about you and internal for you. So I suspect over not a very long period of time, you're going to come up empty. At some point, you're going to discover you need something bigger than yourself to find the peace and the comfort and the joy, the inner joy that you're seeking. And at that point, we kind of went about our business a little bit. And doctor came in and, you know, earned his money. It's feeling pretty good, I think. I don't know. Going to have to get a hat, apparently. The hair's not coming back in that little spot, so I guess I'm getting a hat. But two other things happened before we left there. And before I tell you the other two things that happened, I want to go back to this passage. God is calling us to a relationship through Jesus Christ. He wants that relationship to be like the relationship, the triune relationship. It's an indwelling relationship. He calls us to it. Why? Well, I don't know, because he wants us primarily. But when we reach into that, we become a living testament to the risen Lord. Amen? We become his hands and feet. We understand this and we hear it. Amen? Now we want to know, how do we do it? And we often get caught up in trying to discover how we're going to do this, and we build relationships at the wrong level. Do you know what the problem was for this woman I met? She attempted to build a relationship with the church. What she needs is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Those of us who are in relationship with Jesus Christ gather together as the church, with Christ as the head. The struggle is, we get so caught up in being the church, we don't even get so caught up in being the church. We get so caught up in having a church, we forget that it's us and we think it's the building. And then we start to build our relationship with that community. And you know what happens every single time? The community of God's broken people fail us. Amen? We've all done it. I've done it. I'll probably do it again. I'll apologize in advance for when I fail you. But just trust that I'm trying to seek out my relationship with Jesus Christ just as you are. I've been set apart by God and the church to stand here and do it. You've been set apart by God and the church to sit in the pew and come and join in it, and then to go out the door, which often leaves me still here. I'm okay. I'm getting better at that. Because I want to go. But my job is to say to you, build your relationship with Jesus Christ and go. If you're building your relationship with what you define as a church, as a faith community, and that alone, it will fail you every single time. And then we get frustrated, or we get mad, or we get offended, or whatever those things might be, and we decide the building's filled with hypocrites and I'm not going back. So the next thing that happened is I was able to say to her before I left, I was able to say, what you need to do is build a relationship with Jesus Christ, not with the church. You build your relationship with Jesus Christ and you'll find yourself in the church. It's just how it works out. And you'll find yourself wanting and desiring to be a representation of Christ to the world, because you'll be so close and intertwined in your relationship with Christ that you will just start to become that, because he will form you into it. Amen? Amen? This is the call. So as the church, we need to remember that. If we lose sight of our role and decide our job as the leadership at Holy Innocence is to put more people sitting on these very lovely and comfortable pews, and there's many, and there's room, and I'd love to see people in them, but if we only bring them here so that we feel good about having people sitting in the pew, we are not being the church. If we are working on our relationship with Jesus Christ to where we have an indwelling with the risen Lord within ourselves, and we live in the world that way, they will come. Because we will continually run into them in the world, and they are going to encounter the risen Lord through us. And we're going to say, you should come and join us in the work that God has given us to do. When they come, brothers and sisters, it's not because we had just the right thing to say or because we had just the right program. They will come when they see Christ within us, because we have worked so diligently on our relationship that it becomes an obvious and visible presence of God to the world. Listen closely. After Jesus describes the depth of this relationship that he intends to have with us, and he talks about, again, laying down his life for the sheep, he says, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd. One flock, one shepherd. We should go around chanting that. We could do it Anglican style. At least it'll harmonize. what if that's our battle cry? That we grow so close to Christ in our relationship with him, that we work so diligently upon it, that when we hear that one flock, one shepherd, it becomes the motivation of our lives, that others will come to find Christ. Remembering all along, as I've mentioned before and will many times again, we are in marketing. Now, for someone who spent a lot of time in sales, what that takes the heavy pressure off, see, because you're not the closer. The closer has to make the deal. The marketer just makes sure that the product is out there where it can be seen and people can engage with it. We're in marketing. That sounds a little callous, I know. Don't panic. It's more holy than that for me. But Jesus closes the deal. And we know that because he says this, I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. We have this opportunity to grow so near to Christ in our relationship that we become a very visible sign of Christ to the world. As long as we stay focused on that, focus on Christ, focus on being openly Christian in the world, sharing our love of Christ in the way in which Christ loves, so that others will come to experience that, we can draw. He will use us to draw others to himself. Not to us, not necessarily even the holy innocents, but into the kingdom of God where he desires us all to be. Amen? Amen. This is the call, brothers and sisters. This is the call. Two other things that happened before I left the dermatologist's office. Well, besides paying the bill. The nurse, before our conversation ended in the exam room and the doctor came in, she said to me, I'm on my third metaphysical group because I find that I'm just not finding what I'm looking for. Now, I wanted to jump up and say, I told you so. But what I said was, I'm not surprised because you know what you need and you know where to find him. And off she went. Went through the exam and all the joys of that. Coming back out of the exam room, the nurse is walking the other way on the hallway. And I said, have a great day. And she stops and she says, can I hug you? And I said, absolutely. At which time I was able to then take her in my arms and say, God bless you. What a great joy. And dare I say, a huge privilege that the Lord would take me in all my broken, damaged, potentially hypocritical state and speak to someone else's heart about the true love of Christ. That's our call. That, brothers and sisters, is the church. You are the church. Amen.